I would really struggle to give the captain's armband to somebody who's consistently moaning and consistently shows the body language that Bruno Fernandes does.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite. A bite-sized serving of Ireland's breakfast sports show.
All being well, we expect most of the games this weekend to go ahead if the storm manages to blow through. Famous last words, of course, so we're not counting any chickens just yet. But if they do, all the focus this week so far has really been on the football and the new rules and the excitement and the trepidation and the abusive referees and 50 yards is too much to give away. Like, let's wait and see what happens. But the hurling, on the other hand, has kind of gone somewhat under the radar. We're aiming to fix that a little bit now. Delighted to say Seamus Hickey and Sarah O'Donovan are with us. You're both very welcome. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Sarah, excitement levels in Cork? Is the red storm rising?
Slightly dampened by that result last Sunday, I think. I think we were really disappointed for Sarah's losing to Nafina and probably put the kibosh on the early excitement, let's be honest.
Really, because there's not really a correlation between club success and county success.
But Cork haven't won, you know, any trophies for so long. They haven't won a National League title in 27 years. We just needed something to focus the minds and we didn't get it. And now everyone's talking about Dublin and how quickly, you know, they decimated Cork in that game in Croke Park. And it's like, what are Dublin going to bring to the championship this year? And you're looking at Antrim and you're looking at Clare and you're looking at Limerick. And then all of a sudden you're thinking maybe there isn't, you know, an opportunity for Cork to do as well as they did last year. Genuinely.
There is a real thing of a hangover, Seamus, which I think maybe we could talk about a bit, where you get so close to glory and it's snatched away from you. And it can go either way. If the thing is really well managed, everybody uses that as a springboard and motivation. But if you just get a few notes wrong early in the year, then that whole kind of thing seeps in. We're a little bit cursed. We could have got over the line. That should have been us. How do they make sure that doesn't happen?
Yeah, it can happen. I think the younger the team, the better chance you have that it doesn't scare them. Because they're just generally on the up. In 2021, Cork took the mother and father of all beatings in the All-Ireland final. And within 2 years they were back up and at it. So like, I don't think it's over. I wouldn't be overly pessimistic about Cork. I'd be very optimistic because they've got a good management setup. They really do have a good crew of players, and I'm not talking about 15. I'm talking about 20, maybe 22, who are, you know, I think they're blooded. They have experience. They didn't lose anybody to retirements like so many of the teams around them. I think they're in a good spot. How do they prevent the hangover? I don't know. I think Pat Ryan is your cure there.
It's funny because I ahead of this slot yesterday, I was thinking, geez, Cork beat Limerick twice last year. And then Sarah, you sent me your notes and that was the first thing you said is we've poked the bear here. I mean, Seamus, have Cork poked the bear here? Will Limerick not make that mistake for a third time?
Listen, I'll be fairly straight. I don't know if the fear factor is there for Limerick. I don't know if the fear factor is still there. I think that Limerick are going to be very good this year. I think they're going to be great. But, they hurt us last year. It's flimsy motivation, I think. I think they're either coming back to be the great team they were or they're not coming back at all. I don't think it's... Cork aren't in the crosshairs, as far as I'm concerned. I think they will be good this year. I think Limerick are going to be good, but like that could go either way. They can reload and, you know, do a Kilkenny on it from 2011, 2012 and go at it. But I think the championship is better now. I think that there's more good teams this time around, nearly 15 years on. So, I don't think they have poked the bear. I think Cork legitimately have proved that they're up for it because the poke the bear argument would have been the Munster down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, and we had tons of excuses, last minute penalty. We had no excuses in Croke Park. There was zero. There was nothing left.
There was nothing in it either, Seamus. Do you know what I mean? And you're looking at what Cork did in the off-season and what Limerick have done in the off-season. You're looking at Shane O'Brien scoring 1-8 last night for Limerick. Personally, I think that the Limerick peripheral players have done more in the off-season than the Cork peripheral players. I've been at two Cork games in the last 2 weeks. I don't think the players have put on the bulk that the Limerick players have put on in the off-season. And I just think it's a different style of preparation. And I think Limerick will be more prepared.
So it boils down to the question, right? I don't judge anything from January. I refuse, right? So, and it's easy for a college player to play well in January. I did it, right? So it's very, very easy. Like, I was all-star. I was player of the month in January for TJ Ryan in 2016, and I was a sub by July. So it's very hard to read anything into January. So
yeah, but it's a changed season. It's a shorter season.
Is Cork afraid of Limerick? Do you think Cork are afraid of Limerick?
No, I don't think this bunch of players are afraid of Limerick.
Come championship, that's what it was, I think.
We could have sit back here, couldn't we? There's something here. I had a question about Seamus. It was when you were saying Limerick reloading, right? Do you think we'll see a different version of Limerick in 2025 because of what happened in the All-Ireland semi-final? Or is it more so that John Coady will just revert to the consistency in previous years, if you get me? Which is more likely to happen this year at Limerick?
So trying to define Limerick's playing style for the last few years, right? I think it's largely dependent on the players that play the positions. They play to a larger system, we have X number behind the ball in defence at all times. We have wing forwards that are big, that can win their own ball. And we have a two-man inside line. So that's largely it. But it boils down to the player. So what's going to happen with Limerick, because there's no blowing this thing up and starting again, and there's no massive wrinkle. They're not going to deploy a sweeper, I promise.
The Ireland football final is the game of shame. You're obviously a true blue dub on the hill.
A true blue dub, born and bred in the hill, Jerry. You know what I mean? And my friend Gary O'Gorman, who lived on the road, on my road. I lived in a cul-de-sac in Blanchardstown. So he says to me, do you want to go see the All-Ireland final? And of course, as you're a boy desperately trying to kind of re-establish his Dublin bona fides, it's like, of course I want to go. So Dublin go. I had no idea really at the time. I think had Dublin kind of stumbled their way to the All-Ireland? I mean,
they narrowly beat Cork in a replay.
Yeah. So
the replay was in Parky Cueve.
So there was no sense that, we didn't know who was going to win and et cetera, et cetera. And I went and we went in the hill, and I don't remember much of the game itself. And I remember one of the sendings off. I remember Brian Mullins' sending off.
Yeah.
And as it happened, Brian Mullins' nephew had become friends with my brother, Ronan Whelan. And so I've, in the years since, I got to meet Brian Mullins, who was a gent of a man, one of the nicest guys. And had he swung his arm back and like
a lot of, I think what's all four sendings off were off the ball incidents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Kieran Duff did definitely when you probably that was. I thought when the Dublin and the Galway player were both sent off for fighting.
Miála Herrera, I was listening back last night, couldn't compute what was happening.
Yeah,
because back then refs didn't have cards, so you're just reliant on his arm movements.
But so I remember the Brian Mullins sending off and not the others. For the simple reason is that I am not a tall man and I was not a tall boy. And the hill was crushed and the movement of people up and down the hill. And I suffer a tiny bit with claustrophobia. And I'm in the armpit of many a Dublin fan. And I remember feeling distinctly uncomfortable there and straining up, standing on my tippy toes to try and get a view of what was happening on the pitch. But at the same time going, I am part of something. The hill is an important part of Dublin Gaelic football or Dublin Gaelic in general. And I have to be here. But frankly, I didn't enjoy it very much. At all.
It looked so intense watching it. And
intense.
It was four seasons in a day as well, wasn't it? It was gale force, winds and rain.
Yeah, so I think...
And the finishing sun.
That's right, actually, yeah. Because I remember walking out of Croke Park, soaking wet, but in the sunshine.
Yeah.
But it was brutal. The first half was horrific.
Finishes 1:10 to 1:08.
1:08,
classic.
Yeah.
71,000 at it, though. So, and, nearly 72,000. And I'm sure the capacity was about 50.
But the thing is, I tried looking at a photograph to prep for this. It's like, was there a spill out in front of the hill? Or was there loads of people?
During the game?
No.
Or after?
Just generally. During the game.
Yeah.
It seemed like...
There's definitely loads of those games where a random guard is trying to hold back a sea of humanity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're just on the pitch and they're sitting on the pitch.
And I remember just not feeling scared or anything, just uncomfortable and just like struggling to breathe and see and like, and, but I do remember when Mullins was sent off, the Hill was not happy about this at all, you know, and, but at the time, so, and you'll find that an awful, I'm a huge sports fan and I love football. But one of the things, the hallmarks of my memories is I don't remember the games, a lot of games themselves. Like the, you know, the cut and thrust, like, you know.
Is that John Giles' photographic memory for...
Or Dave 70- McIntyre. Dave McIntyre, who has this like amazing ability to recall, like, and then he passed it inside to such, and you're like, what?
He'll be listening.
Yep. And so I don't remember a lot of games, even the ones that I've watched with great intensity.
Well, that's this segment, actually. That's what this... Well, that's what you had to be there to become. Like, the game is just almost a tool, like a plat device to actually talk what we're talking about, really.
But I do remember that sense of being a part of a cheering Dublin crowd, leaving the ground and making my way into Phibsborough to get the bus back out to Blanchardstown. And just that sense of, I belong. This is the next step in my re-establishing my Dublin identity. And I felt really happy.
Yeah.
And Gary and I walking up the road, and it was all like kind of cheering and with the Dublin scarves. And oh, it was just, and it was weirdly enough, the better part of it was when we eventually got home and kicking the ball around on the road.
Yeah.
That was lovely.
Yeah,
that was good fun. And there was a sense of just elation about it all.